Okay, good morning, and welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's own way, and we are excited for another day of grace. If you're listening online, we thank you for tuning in. If you're here live, we're ecstatic that you're here with smiles on your face and eager to study the Word of God. Just one quick announcement. Our conference is coming up pretty quick, May the 28th, 29th, and 30th. I should have it in line. But anyway, Salt Fork, if you got any questions, that you can email us or contact us. If you're planning on coming, 26, 27, 28. Thank you. If you plan on coming, please email us or text us the dates that you're coming. If you're not staying at the conference at the lodge, so we can get a head count. Anyway, we're going to be singing in their new songbooks, song number one, A Mighty Fortress of Our God. A Mighty Fortress of Our God. A mighty fortress is our God, a book never, ever failing. Our helper, He amid the flood of moral ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, an arm of courage on earth is not his equal. Okay, let's everybody go on the same page. Howard knows this song very good. Here we go, here we go. Striving we'll be losing. We're not the right man on our side, God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is He. Lord abbot is His name, from age to age the same, and He has won the battle. Number three. And though this world is devil's field, let no endure us. We will not fear. Are you with me? Triumph the Prince of Peace is dear. We'll tremble not for Him. His rage will can endure. For lo, His doom is sure. One little word shall fail Him. Above the earthly powers, think to them abideth the riches of His grace. Ours, through Him who with us sided. Let's good and kindred go, this mortal life a soul. The body may be killed, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Amen. 40 more weeks we'll be able to sing this one. Wednesday night, we need to be in choir practice. Okay, that's all I got to say. It is, yeah, it's a good foundational song, yes.
Yeah, the next
But we'll sing, if you will, be turning to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Those songs like there, you won't find in the new churches. Mm-hmm. You know, they have their list of songs. They play it over and over and over. And I was talking with a guy this week, and he said, I said, what kind of music do you like? He said, I like contemporary Christian. I said, hmm. He said, I used to like those hymns and stuff, old gospel hymns, but I don't care for that no more. Then he talked about his church and what they play. He said, we play loud music in here. And I'm like, okay. To each his own, but they're going to bring people in. That's what people likes. So, yeah, probably. But lesson 18, we're in Genesis study lessons, and we're looking through the book of Genesis, and we're comparing some things. And we left off last week with this verse, and it says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that a man shall be alone, and that he has a sense of his own incompleteness. I will make him a helpmeet for him. He's going to make him somebody that he needs. And he's going to have a helpmeet to be his own, one who answers to and responds to him. It's almost like having a mirror image, if you think about it. Verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And, you should underline this, whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now, Adam, verse 20, and Adam gives names to all the cattle and to the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. Notice verses 19 and 20 very carefully. God said to himself, it's not good for Adam to be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. And God said that to himself. Okay? He doesn't say that to Adam. So he don't plan anything in Adam's mind about this, right? And he wants to show Adam the truth of verse 18. And he wants him to demonstrate to Adam and confirm that in Adam's spirit and the fact that Adam needs a helpmeet and that it's not good to be here by himself. Now the Lord forms the beast of the field, the animal creation, and sets them before Adam. And he's going to cause Adam the sense of loneliness. And, you know, that is the question here. And the way he does it is he assembles animals and bringing them to Adam. And Adam says lion. He says cat, giraffe, and animals like that, birds. That isn't what happened. You know that, don't you? I know the cartoons and things like that you might have saw in Sunday school where Adam's sitting on a rock and a parade of animals go by. And he goes, oh, animals, lions, birds. That's not true. Can you guess what may have happened or had happened? He ever thought about it? When it reads, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof, that name that Adam gave those animals remained to the same day when Moses wrote this book. You know what I mean? So it wasn't just a name that, a nickname that everybody changes all the time. It was a name. And the name stuck with the animal. And there isn't any way to give an animal a name that will stick with it for all times unless you had a great deal of study and documentation of that animal. Now, we don't know how much time that went through, right? You know, you can only speculate. But Adam took there and studied that animal. Wonder why it was called a mule. What do you call a mule? Well, when you think about a stubborn mule, that type of thing. Why do you call it a donkey? Donkey and mule is a little different here. That type of thing. You know, a horse. He studied him. And what Adam is doing there, Adam becomes intimate, acquainting with the nature of the characteristics of those creatures. Many of you had animals. Many of you have got animals. When you got that little puppy or little kitten and stuff like that, you petted it and you grew, you know, you took, you watched it. Oh, we're going to call him Fred. You know, he looks like a Freddy. You know, that type of thing. Whatever the case may be, you took the time and you named that animal. You just didn't come out of blue and say, boom, we'll call him this. And then once you did call him out, you probably call him, you know, different names after that. But he gives the names, and the names that corresponds with the characteristics and the lifestyle of that of an animal. And that those names stuck with them. So it just wasn't out of blue. And he noticed once they started pairing up, they mate. They had families. They gathered together in herds and tribes and graggles. They gathered together and in their own little herds and stuff and started having a family social events that was going on. He's studying all this stuff out. And pigs were all together with pigs. And goats with goats and birds with birds and monkeys with monkeys. They tend the structure themselves. That's almost like humanity. That's almost like God set boundaries for people. So we'd have a nation and all. He began to see this and began to sense and understand what was going on. So when you come to verse 20, it says, "For Adam there was not found a helpmeet for him, and a helper suited and appropriate for Adam wasn't there. And there was no one to correspond to Adam or help him to share." That must have been lonely. If you think about it, he's knowing all this creation around him, and they're having families and all that stuff, and there he's by himself. And there was no one to share with Adam his knowledge of God. Here's Adam, a creation, has the knowledge of God and no one to talk to. He can't talk to a dog. I mean, you can talk to any animal you want to, but they're not going to come back and tell you, "Well, God said this." You remember when God said that? They can't do that. And so there isn't anyone there for Adam, and Adam comes to understand that it isn't good to be alone. Verse 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man." Adam laid there for the first surgical operation, didn't he? And God exercised, he took a rib out of his side. And you know what rib it was? You ever thought about which rib it was? You say seventh? Yeah, it's the fifth rib. Fifth rib, and there's a left side under his heart. And how do you know that? You ever looked, what is it?
Five is the number of
or death, division. But there, without going reading all these scriptures, if you 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 23, and all through Samuel, it talks about the fifth rib, the fifth rib, the fifth rib, over and over and over. He fetched and he smote them under the fifth rib. So that's where probably a weak space is. I don't know. But the thing is, you think about that. You can do your own study on that fifth rib. You can look it up. And John chapter 19 is where they stuck the spear in his side. There's a reason for that fifth rib mentioned so many times. He reached in there and took that rib, the fifth rib, on the left side of under his heart. And the Hebrew word is a side member. And he took it out of his side, someone to be his helpmeet. He makes a woman. And you think he struggled with that, Adam? You think he thought a fault? I don't want to have operation. I don't want to have operation.
Because it grew back. It grew back.
It did?
Maybe he didn't know, but.
Well, he did it willingly. Adam did it willingly. He said, Lord, I'm laying down here. I'm doing it willingly because he's believing God. He has no reason to. God's going to hurt him. Our little great niece had the one we prayed about had her tonsils removed, and she woke up, and it took her a while to come out of anesthetic. And when she comes out, she's wondering what she's doing there and all, and she's like, "Well, we took your tonsils out." And she says, "I want them." She said, "Where are they at?" And she said, "The nurse said they threw them away." She said, "I want them back because it hurts, you know." And that type of thing. And then the poor little kid, you know, apparently redheads have a hard time coming out of stuff. And so they took the IV and stuck it in her foot versus her arms. And she says, what's this down here? She said, it's an IV. And she said, pull it out. She's worrying that when you pull it out, she's going to
leak.
So find another foot to put it in somewhere down. So you think about that. She's like wondering what's going on. You know, many of us don't want to go in operations because we have a fear of what's going on. Adam, Abraham, when he took his son up there, there's no records that Isaac fought Abraham. He went up there willingly. And that meant he was a man. So he took it out of sides, someone to help me, he makes a woman. And Adam comes a sense that he needs a helpmeet, guys. He had no idea what it was going to look like. She can't imagine when he woke up and stood there. And he says in verse 23, this is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. And he's looking at her for the first time and noticed the terminology there in verse 22. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made he a woman and brought her into the man. God took that rib out of that man, and no longer is Adam complete in himself. He's not whole no more. And he's no longer self-sufficient. And God takes it out of her and makes a woman. And y'all know, y'all probably heard all kinds of jokes about this. You know, when he looked at her, go, wow, you're the only woman in the world for me, that type of thing. You know, he's looking at her and you know, he made a woman. The word made, in the margin of the Bible, it means built. He made that. And the word means, and do you ever hear a man look at his woman and say, man, she's really built? That's where it comes from. And literally means stacked together. Well, she's stacked. And you know, people say that, and my wife's looking at me, oh, Lord. The thing is, when people say that, they're getting it out of the Bible. But you know what they do with it. They make it ugly out of it. So the word means, you know, she really stacked. You didn't, you know, the thing is, you can't imagine Adam waking up and say, wow. What a woman, you know. Where you been all my life? That type of thing. You know, God takes her hands and they put them together and pronounce the first wedding vows. And when he says, Adam said, this is now the bones of my bones in verse 23 and flesh of my flesh. She said to be called woman because she was taken out of a man. And verse 22, the rib is taken out of Adam's side and the Lord closes him up. He don't put it back. And he's no longer sufficient in himself. He's no longer complete in himself, like I was sharing. Now he has a helpmeet. He has somebody that's going to be a mirror image of him. He's going to, you know, talk to him. Now, remember this. Has the fall happened yet? Have they got kicked out? Has sin been introduced? So nothing's wrong here. They're perfectly and unique individuals. Not individual, but together. Okay? They have nothing quarreling about. You know, they have no issues with each other. She's there. And now he is an incomplete person without her. God brings her to Adam. He made her, stacked her, built her. She is a beauty. Eve is a very special creation. And she is the only creature God ever made that was not made out of the dust of the earth. You realize that? And verse 7 is Adam's form out of the dust of the earth. Verse 2:19, and out of the ground of the Lord God formed every beast of the field and the fowl of the air. So Eve was not formed out of mud, dirt. She was formed out of Adam. And he's made out of Adam. And we need to get that. She is a secondary creation. She came out of the man as a prophet of God. And by the way, Adam is a prophet, priest, and king. In verse 23, he expounds on the situation. And there was communication between God and him. And Adam expressed and expounds upon that God has done in creation of his wife for him. And this is going to expound on the marriage institution. We just looked at free will, right? Now you're going into the marriage thing. In verse 23, when Adam said, "Now this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh," she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now what do you think a woman means?
Woman,
that's right. It takes a word womb and a man and puts them together and makes woman. Now, I don't want to say this, don't take me wrong, but she was a man with a womb.
A human.
Okay? You know what I'm talking about? You know, people will run with that today. You know that. And all that stuff, but that's not what I'm saying here. She is Adam having a part of him taking out, and there she is. And verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and there shall be one flesh." Marriage here is really the reconstruction of Adam. He's putting Adam back together, making them together. And they put them together and forming the whole again. And notice she is taken out of the man. Eve was the first part, first a part of Adam, later she separates with him, from him. Because there's a reason in chapter 1, verse 27, he says, "Male and female created he them." And Adam was first contained with the elements and later separated out of his nature and made Eve. And the reason that Eve was taken out of, man, and there's a reason that she's a secondary creation. And she is the only creature in all of creation who is a secondary creation. She's alone was not made out of dust of the earth, right? She came out of Adam. There's two reasons for that. Number one, as a secondary creation, she comes out of man. God created her in the secondary sense for the human race would originate with only one ultimate source. You understand what I said?
Mm-hmm. One for Adam should be created.
Everybody stems out of Adam. Like she said, without Adam, she wouldn't be created. There's only one source in human race. Every person since Adam has come from Adam, including his wife Eve. That's why the Bible talks about a lot, talks about the first Adam, don't he? Who's the last Adam? Christ. And this including his wife. There's a reason that he gives this capacity for, because how many redeemers represents all man? Do you need two? If there was two creations, you'd need what? Two redeemers. But how many redeemers does it take to redeem mankind? One. And God had created Adam, then he created Eve, just like he created Adam as original creation out of dust. They would have been people out there, descendants from Adam. And then there's been people out there, descendants from Eve. You know what a problem that is when you get over there with Abraham. Who did he have first when when God said you're going to have a child? And he had it with Agar. What was his name? Ishmael. Was that what God told was going to happen? So he had not only Ishmael, next come who? Isaac. How'd that work out? It really hasn't. And now you got people out there descended from a free woman, they're descended from a bond woman. And they would have to be two heads. She is a secondary creation, a race originated with only one source. That's one redeemer can represent all of mankind through Adam. The second reason is Genesis 3:15. It says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. The seed of a woman, that's something new. You can scratch your head all day long, a woman ain't got a seed. And it begins in chapter 3 as a promise of Redeemer. Now, what do we know about chapter 3? We ain't got there yet, but what do you know about chapter 3? Are they still in a garden? Are they still in paradise? The sin's been introduced, right? The seed of a woman is a thing that carries down to the Messiah, and the reason he is born, virgin born, is to get rid of the tainted of Adam's sin. But where did a woman come from? She came from Adam. God created her in a special, unique way, foreknowing what he's going to do, so that the seed of a woman was originated the seed of man. That's why in Luke chapter 3, Adam is called the Son of God. And he goes all the way back to God. And you see the Son of Man, seed carries death, doesn't it? The seed of woman is a viaduct of life. But her seed would not have been good for a man unless she originated, was in a man. So before the fall, she's taken out of man. She is a descendant of Adam. The Redeemer that comes from her can represent all descendants of Adam because he's only one source. And it's an untainted seed originally from man. Now, redemption purposes demands the creation to have taken place in a fashion in which it did. That's the only way it could be taken care of. And you notice what Adam says about her in verse 23. And Adam said, "Now this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." And Jesus said in Luke 24:39, "Behold my hands and my feet, that is myself. Handle me and see, for the spirit has not flesh and bones as you see I have." He had flesh and bones, didn't he? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Flesh and bone are mentioned here in Luke. The idea is there is no blood in the formula. And then the idea is the blood poisoning came from. You guys know that. That's why we talked about that vine tree in that garden. Grapes, the blood. The blood is tainted. You can taint blood anywhere. You know that? I'll share this with you. I was over in Europe in the early 80s, and they got their meat from different sources. You ever heard of mad cow's disease? And the places where I was at was on the list that you can't get blood. Because it's tainted. I can get my own blood. I haven't checked that list in a while because things drop off over a period of time. I guess people still survive that's lived that long, whatever. But the thing is, blood poisoning. Your blood can get poisoned no matter what. You can get scratched out there and get poisoning. And there's something flowing through their veins. It was not contaminated blood, but it was shed for the remission of sins, as you later find out. Jesus Christ's blood was not tainted. Talking about blood situation, in Acts chapter 2, verse 38-39, it says, repent and be what? Be baptized for the remission of sins. Right? Repent for the kingdom of heaven's hand, that type of thing. Where's the blood at there? There's no blood at all. But people will fight you tooth and nail and said, this is the gospel that Peter preached, and you have to be saved by that. In Acts 2:38, repent for the kingdom of heaven's hand, repent, be converted, that you're... I'm goofing this up bad. Acts 2:38. I share this with people all the time, and they will argue with you up and down. Acts 2:38. Now, verse 37 says, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, Peter just explained to them what was David's reasoning and all through what Jesus Christ was done in Nazareth. Then it says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the Holy Spirit, a gift of the Holy Ghost. Where is the blood atonement? But Paul talks about, through this man that was preached, that the blood. Paul talks about the death, burial, and resurrection. That's how you are redeemed, through the blood. We have to have pure blood to get into heaven, don't we? You know, you talk about, people talking about, are you blue blood? Are you a blue blood Virginian? People down south stuff gets big in this blood situation. Because if you're not a pure Virginian, you're not a Virginian, that type of thing. You know, they're blue bloods, that type of thing. It's just a fleshly thing you puff up about. But flesh and blood cannot inherit it. So where is the blood? It's contaminated. So I talk to these people all the time on this Facebook people that, I mean, they give you the gospel night and day, but people ignorant replying to them. And I said, show me the blood. Because one guy says, oh, if it ain't the blood, blah, blah, blah. But Peter and Paul preached the same message, blah, blah, blah. I said, show me the blood in Acts 2:38. He still ain't, he ain't told me. And then he's flowing through the veins. Male and female created he them. The man is the initiator. The woman is the responder. The man is the intellect. He is the one that he's supposed to think and operate on volition. A woman is the emotional side. She is respond to his will. What do you need me to do? You know, I asked my wife, where you want to eat today? She said, I don't know. I don't know. You pick. You know why she says that? You remember the first time that the woman picked a place to eat or something to eat? We're talking about it. Eve in the garden. It hadn't worked out since. That's a joke, by the way. But So, you know, I ask my wife sometimes, every once in a while she'll pick out, she has a place she wants to eat. That's fine. Just give me a heads up, we'll go. But any other time she said, whatever you want to eat, I'll eat anything you want to eat. And the reason why she can't choose is because of Eve, the first woman that chose a food, it didn't work out too well. So anyway, my wife Eve. My wife Eve. But anyway, the woman is emotional side. She is to respond to his will. Now, this is before the fall. Well, actually, it still should be going on, but you'll find out when we get to chapter 3, a woman, God said, you'll follow the man. And I'm ad-libbing, Elizabeth. And women don't like that. Some of you do. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not picking. I'm just laying it out there because, you know, you got a will too. Anyway, I'm going to get in trouble here. You will find in your relationship, if you are a man or a woman, if you are married or unmarried, that men are more cerebral and women are more emotional intuition. And they call the woman intuition and its ability to feel things. And you can. You know, you can think about things all the time. You know, sometimes I'm hard. I mean, I'll come in here and I'll just tell you what I feel. And Sherry's over there cringing like, oh, don't say that. Oh, you didn't say that. Beside myself. Yeah. And the initiative and the responders, they can respond well. One thing I like about if you're in the message together and you're fully, we was talking about how long we've been together and stuff. Sometimes I come down with law and she shows grace in a situation. And sometimes I'm showing grace and sometimes she shows law. I'm like, whoa, where'd you get that at? You know, where'd you come from? Go back and wherever you're going. That type of thing. And I was like, but Peter says, you know, you need to understand her makeup. You need to understand that she is meant to be a responder. And she is going to respond. And she's going to give you back what you give her. We saw that the other week. If you're mean to her, guess what she's going to give you? She's going to respond it back. And you're like, why can you talk to me that way? Well, did you not just talk to me that way? They'll give it right back to you. And sometimes we don't like that as a man. We don't like to be, leave. You know, that type of thing. When they do that, they're one flesh. That's verse 24. That's one complete humanity, one person that God made Adam and Eve. And that's the way that institute of marriage is supposed to be acting as one person. I talked to people the other day. I said, do you have a vehicle? He said, yeah, I've got that car out there. And I said, is that the only vehicle you got? And he goes, no, my wife's got this SUV. I said, your wife, isn't that yours too? No, we have an understanding. She's paying for that, and I've got this one. Well, that shouldn't work that way. You're paying for it together. You know, and that's what's wrong with a lot of things today. Like I said, so what's hers is hers, and what's yours is hers. Right? If a bar like that, I know. And he looked at me like, I said, it's a joke. You know. Right, exactly. That's what most women think about all the time. But marriage is a marriage is a reconstruction of man, guys. And it's a completion of man. And man was that part that was taken out of him and put back in him and becomes a functioning unit. Now, we talked about the other day, it's good to hold out, a man to hold out until you find a godly woman. Sometimes that may never work, even women. You hold out till you find a godly man. Sometimes that might not be right. But, you know, Sherry pointed something out the other day in her Bible study. The Bible says it's not good for a man to touch a woman. If you know what I'm talking about. And a lot of that's going on out there. And it says better to marry than burn. So you better, you know, what's going out there in that world right today, you flip it on TV, the ungodliness going on exactly comes right out of this. And that's where you got to get down in that soul and make that connection with that soul and say, listen, this is what God says. I'm not judging anybody. I'm not. You know, this is what the Bible says, and either you agree with it or you don't. And the thing is that neither the woman nor the man nor the woman can be complete and completely whole without the other. You can't do it. And I know it's hard out there sometimes because Adam was whole and Eve was taken out of him, and the ideal floats around that says that Adam's original holiness was that he was made male and female. bisexual. You ever heard that?
Yes.
That there's an ideal out there that way, and that, you know, that's nonsense. And in the sense that there was both in one, male and female, stuck in one, the teaching that says this, since he was created the image of God, and God was a male and female in one, you know how dangerous that is? That's dangerous. That's why people go out there. You ever listen to some of these songs out there? There's a popular, I think a bluegrass or country song out there talks about God was a woman. And she came down and wanted to go fishing with them and all that stuff. You know, that's where this stuff comes from, the sitting there speculating all that. But it's dangerous. And when you combine two separate things, you form a new nature. And so that isn't what Adam was talking to himself inside and feeling some female hormones inside of him saying, I got to get out of here. You know, I got to make another creation over here. That didn't happen. I hate to think, and you know what I'm thinking, maybe. That's going on out there right now. That's going on out in creation that says, you know, if you, there's a woman locked up inside of you, you got to come out, that type of thing.
Yeah.
It's just a sad situation what's going on out there in these homes and these places. And you know what my encouragement is? If you believe that to be true and you want to teach that in schools that it's okay for you to mutilate your body, okay, then you ought to be able to teach what the Word of God. Give them the opportunity to teach this Word and give them this Word and say, now you make that choice. You make that volition choice that this is what God, give them the God Word that they can study it out versus man's Word. You know what I'm getting at? And that's the big issue. That's the battle. Because when you train a little kid up through certain things and you don't give him an option, her option, of reading this, but you're going to give them a book that denounces that and do whatever you want to me that's wrong. You just didn't give it. And you want to give a child a choice at 4 years old. You know, So you got to teach them, you got to instruct them, and you bring them up. And if you want to let him understand what's going on out of the world, like I said, that's you do it. But at the same time, you better give him something that he can rely on too. And there's not a lot of that going on. And next time we get together, we'll talk a little bit more about institution of marriage and expound it on, and we'll go through chapter 3. But that's hard to teach sometimes, that, because many of you know where you're at. Many of you know what's going on in the Word, and you look at the world out there and you see all this stuff going on, and it's just flesh. And it's just what God gave us all up, guys. You know, there's something else, Jim, right quick, is we're getting very close, is if you took this whole nation and allowed men with men and women with women, what would your population be over a period of time?
It'd be self-destructive.
Yeah. So yeah, have you ever thought about people would want that to go on? They want you to eliminate population. The evilness is going on out there. It's not new. It's nothing new. It's just been magnified. You got it in front of you instantly. And I love technology, but I'm telling you, that phone right there, the way they got it set up, You can't put it down in some situations.
I can't imagine the world accepting them very much longer.
I hope not. I hope the Lord comes quickly. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you again for tuning in, and we'd like to encourage you to come and visit us when you can. And until next time.